hear a story. Once there was a highly successful CEO of a Fortune 500 company who had an account executive. Charges of impropriety were brought to the CEO that the account executive was misappropriating funds. The CEO called the account manager in and said, "What is this? I've disclosed that you are misappropriating funds. Give me a spreadsheet of what you've been doing because you are no longer an account manager in this corporation." The executive scrambled through his mind what he could do now that he was suddenly unemployed. He'd had a desk job for so long that there was no way he could take a position that required physical labor. And he was certainly not going to get on welfare. That was beneath his dignity. He quickly decided to take matters into his own hand before word got out that he no longer held the position of account executive, knowing that he would be well regarded if he cut folks some slack in their accounts. So he went to his first account holder who owed $9 million and said, "Just pay back $4.5 million and we'll call it even." He went to the next and said, "You owe $8 million? You can cut it back to $6 million. That will be fine." The CEO found out about what the account manager had done, and rather than having him immediately arrested for embezzlement or fraud, he commended him for his shrewdness. Not in the real world, we would think. This is a fairy tale if I have ever heard one. If a business person of any sort discovers that their employee was playing loose with money that did not belong to them, forgiving debts that were not theirs to forgive, then the business person has every right to take the thief to court and have them thrown in jail. That's how the world works. An economy could not expect to succeed in any way if this sorts of behavior was allowed. And that is true. Perhaps this parable is about much more than how a manager squanders his master's property or how an account executive misappropriates funds. Perhaps this parable is about how we value what we have been given and, moreover, what the future holds. Our collect today is very much in keeping with this. In the Rite 2 version, we pray, "Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let us not be anxious about earthly things, but love things heavenly. And while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. What does that mean exactly? What are the heavenly things that we should love and the things that shall endure and not pass away? And how can those things possibly relate to a shrewd, dishonest or unrighteous manager? This manager had been running hard and fast with the boss's money with little regard for anything but himself. He was like the one known as the prodigal son who squandered his inheritance. We know these guys. They don't appreciate their good fortune. They waste what they've been given. They are a train wreck waiting to happen, and the train wreck does happen. But when the worst happens, when they hit the bottom, they remember. Or as with the prodigal son, they come to themselves and turn around. For those of us bent on keeping score, this is always hard to let happen. We want them to fall face first into the mire, to get what we think they deserve. It seems that somewhere deep within the heart of these otherwise despicable characters, beats the spark of God, a spark that reminded them of what was truly important, that which is heavenly and will endure, and that is family and relationships. Making reckless decisions on our own, squandering the wealth of our lives, living as though nothing but our own desires and successes matter, that keeps us anxious about earthly things and puts us on the same trajectory of these two who looked around and found themselves in desperation. Thank goodness their stories did not end there. The prodigal found himself in bed with pigs, wishing that he could eat what they had to eat, and doesn't get much worse than that for a good Jewish son. The manager found himself without a job and out on the streets with no marketable skills and little hope for the future. And each remembered the value of connectedness, the importance of relationship. Each stopped thinking about himself and his own fleeting happiness and success and remembered the value of right relationship with others. The prodigal wiped the pig slop off his clothes, smoothed down his tangled mane of hair, made himself as presentable as he could, knowing that he was in no way presentable, and made the long trek home. Not expecting to be brought back into the family residence, but offering himself in service to the father to whom he owed his very life. The manager decided that he could make things better for others and at the same time enter into a new relationship with his neighbors. He lessened their burden of debt, and in doing so, made the master look generous as well. He didn't take credit for having made their debt load lighter, but allowed them to believe that it was the owner who was making this generous offer. And for this, he was rewarded. The financial wealth is not the object of the story. The gifts that were given in order to develop lasting relationships is that which will endure. Realizing or remembering the value of others and the importance of being in community and in relationship is what brings turnaround in lives and in communities and in nations and in the world. Have you ever noticed that in times of great turmoil and unrest, the news stories that get the most attention are not about who gave the most money, but about human relationships, about how people stepped out of themselves and cared for each other? Look at social media for a minute, literally a minute, and what you will find streaming is not stories about how many millions were given to a cause or how much wealth is given to any need, and worthwhile needs certainly abound. But what gets our attention is how people respond to each other, either in very caring ways or in very uncaring ways. And we respond to these posts and articles because at the core of our being is the spark of God that urges us to be in relationship with each other, to be engaged and involved with each other, to know that each of us matters. Each of us matters to God and to each other. Every day, we are invited to connect with God and to connect with each other. That connectedness was first begun in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The eternal blueprint that has been given us is a blueprint of relationship, of connectedness, of being in community. At 10:30, we will bring into this community in a new and sacramental way Alexander Lagarde Hancock. We will baptize him in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and we will name him and mark him as Christ's own forever. In naming him here, we accept our hold and our responsibility and our care for him. We also make the bold promise to support him in his life in Christ. This is not a passive promise, one that just wishes him well and waves and nods at him from afar. This is a promise to engage with Alex and his family and to be in relationship with them, to care for and about them, and to make that connection that we all want and need, because it comes from the God spark that is within us all. Grant us, O Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Amen.